Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Well, good morning. It's Bill Meyer with you on the Faith Radio Network. Do you know any entitled kids, or maybe you work with an entitled adult? That can sure put a damper on your day. Clinical psychologist Dr. John Townsend believes there is a cure for entitlement, and he's written a new book on that topic. Good morning, John, and welcome to Faith Radio.
Hi, Bill.
So your new book is called The Entitlement Cure, Finding Success in Doing Hard Things the Right Way. And we are regularly seeing stories in the news about entitled young people. The one that immediately came to mind when I thought about this is the teen from Dallas who took someone's life in a drunk driving accident. And I recall his lawyer said he suffered from affluenza, basically a kid from a wealthy home whose parents gave him everything. And because of that, well, he shouldn't be held responsible for his actions. What is wrong with that picture, John?
There's a lot wrong with it. If you look at it on a biblical level, Bill, or a psychological level, or even a neuroscience level, God created us to be responsible. We're supposed to, as it says in Proverbs 4, we're supposed to guard our hearts, take responsibility for our lives. And so just because you've got parents that are affluent doesn't mean you're not responsible for your life.
And here we have a situation not only where this young man, is, I guess, put on probation, told stay away from alcohol, then he starts partying again. Then his mom takes him down to Mexico to escape from the authorities, further increasing his entitlement. The whole thing was just it's an indictment of a lot of parents in our culture today. And I don't want to paint with a broad brushstroke, but obviously we've got in many situations a parenting deficit going on, don't we?
Well, yeah, the problem a lot of this has to do, Bill, is there's, when you look at the Bible, it says to raise kids in Ephesians in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that means nurture means love and, you know, affection and warmth and safety. Admonition means structure and challenge and boundaries. I'm sure you've heard that word. And a lot of this generation of parents has forgotten the second part while holding the first part. So there's all the love, there's all the affection, there's all the safety, but there's no responsibility of structure and boundaries and consequences, and we're kind of reaping what we're sowing here.
I recall a few years ago, you and your colleague, Henry Cloud, wrote a book called Raising Great Kids. And in that book, you said that the three most important things that kids need are love, limits, and time. And the fact is, we have a lot of loving parents, as you said, but there's this misunderstanding that the most loving thing to do with your children is to be their best buddy, and to not rock the boat, to not do anything that would cause them not to like you. But in reality, that's not a loving thing, and it's going to set your kids up for frustration and failure later in life, isn't it?
Yeah, because when you think about it, think of what life is going to require of this kid in Texas or our kids or our employees. Life's going to require that they have to do hard things. They're going to have to get up for work when they don't feel like it, like we all do. They're going to have to work in a job sometimes they're not crazy about. They're going to have to, like, raise children themselves when they're tired. And successful people don't wait for passion and excitement to do great things. Successful people are fueled by passion and excitement, but they know sooner or later in life you've got to roll up your sleeves, do things that are just kind of hard to do, and then they have great success. And so you don't want to set your children up for failure by saying, well, you're not required to do homework. You're not required to go apologize. You're not required to go to church. We're setting them up to be sort of like failures the rest of their lives. We don't want that for our kids.
Yeah, I was telling my son the other day, I said, you know, if you're driving 100 miles an hour on the freeway and you see a little red light in the rearview mirror and the state patrol officer pulls you over, he's not going to give you a cookie.
There you go.
The fact is, though, there are a lot of kids expecting cookies because they kind of been given cookies their whole life. And I know a lot of social commentators have said that they believe entitlement is a particular problem among millennials. Do you believe that's the case, or do we also have a lot of entitled baby boomers running around?
I think we got a lot of entitled people. When I started doing the research for the book, Bill, this was a couple years ago, you know, everybody's mad at the millennials and all this. I get that. And then I started noticing that there's some really cool millennials out there. They're very responsible, and they're creative, and they work hard, and they want to give back to God and the country. They want to give back to society. They want to be family people. They're just wonderful. And, Bill, I know some 80-year-old lunatics. And I'm sorry, they're just nightmares. And I started thinking about it and studying. I realized it all started in Genesis 3. Entitlement started when Adam and Eve, our great-grandparents, decided that life should be on their terms and not God's. So it's been around for a long time.
Well, and we certainly see in Genesis the tendency to blame, to not take responsibility. She made me do it. Oh, the snake made me do it. Well, you made the snake, man. It must be your fault.
What you call the big blame fest.
That's right. That's right. And so I guess, you know, you got a good point. All of us are under that particular curse of the fall. Let's talk about parenting for a moment. Why is it a bad idea for a parent to want to make everything easy for their child in life?
Well, what we found out in the neuroscience has really backs up what the Bible says, Bill, about parenting, is that when you make things easy for the child, then the child can't do hard things. For example, think about the old story about how the mom eagle helps her kids to get out. Well, she doesn't open up that egg for them that they're inside. They have to peck their way outside. And if you open up an eagle's egg before it comes out, the baby dies, because this is the strength thing, having to peck at that egg from the inside over and over again, that creates it able to walk in then and fly and forage for itself. So making things you can't make things too hard for the kid. You know, the Bible talks about don't discourage your children, but it's got to be at that sweet spot where they feel challenged, they feel pushed, they feel resourced by you and loved by you. And then all of a sudden, everything clicks in. They begin doing homework. They begin doing well in sports. They do well in church with friends. They stay away from drugs. Why? Because you push them to do difficult things. That's part of the job of parenting.
So in addition to parenting being a factor that contributes to entitlement, what are some of the other factors that you see in today's world that are sort of leading to this entitlement mindset?
Our culture is not helping, Bill. When you see it all over the billboards and all over the tabloids and this sort of thing, what you see is that everything can be easy, and it's about you. And the problem is, our culture is sort of a microwave culture. There's a fast track to everything. And the problem is, personal growth, business growth, spiritual growth is not a microwave, it's an oven. And our cultures kind of take the oven out of it. The second thing is, we also see this with the parenting styles. We talked about that a bit, where it's kind of like just be their buddy. And then, unfortunately, the church then gets infected with it, because then all of a sudden, I've got a lot of pastor friends, and our pastors feel sort of pressured to create an entertainment church instead of a participative church. So, you know, you got to have lots of great talks and, you know, great music and this sort of thing to keep the people entertained, as opposed to, well, there was something that really challenged me today. So we're getting set up on this by forces all over us.
It's interesting you point that out, because the more I think about it, and I've been to some large seeker-sensitive churches, and it's certainly a great show, but there's not a lot of participation required, except maybe sing along with the nice worship music. We're talking to John Townsend. He has written a great new book called The Entitlement Cure. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network.
Not just information, transformation. Faith 90.7 AM 900.
Well, good morning and welcome back. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer with my friend, clinical psychologist John Townsend. John has a new book out. It's called The Entitlement Cure, Finding Success in Doing Hard Things the Right Way. And John, let's talk about how entitlement affects relationships and families and even our workplace.
The best way to understand it is to look at what it's like to be around another person. You know, one of my rules of thumb I use as a when I work with organizations and as a leadership consultant is, would you want to be around you? You know, when I talk to a CEO or a sales manager or anybody, I say, well, let's take a look at would you want to be around you? And think about being around somebody who says, hey, I want to collaborate with you. I can't wait to hear your ideas. Hey, give me feedback and tell me if I'm an idiot here and let's pull this together. Well, you'd die to be with that person. That would be great. You'd feel like you'd conquer the world. What if you're around a person, and this is kind of where the book kind of like lands, who has two attributes. And attribute number one is I'm not responsible. So did you get the report in on time? Well, no, that's not really my problem. Mm-hmm. Well, or I'm not responsible for how I make my team feel. Or, you know, you sort of like set everybody off when you kind of made it about yourself. Well, that's their problem. So mm-hmm. number one, you've got a person who's not responsible for how they impact anybody. And number two, they feel that they should deserve special treatment. You know, I'm a creative person, and I'm a, you know, I'm really kind of a catch here, and so you need to treat me. I got to get in the front of the line, not the back of the line, when we go out to recess, if you're a third grader. Think about working with that person who deserves special treatment and isn't responsible versus that collaborative, cool, humble, interested person. Well, you can see why right now when I did the research, American business is spending billions of dollars having to deal with entitled workers, and American parents, not and now it's just worldwide, not just American, are dealing with entitled kids. So what we're seeing is things like a lower work ethic, less drive, less desire to achieve, less desire to produce. So it's now a metric, Bill. It's not just an idea. It's now measurable.
John, what does the Bible have to say about entitlement? We certainly see some biblical characters. I'm thinking of Samuel's sons. I'm thinking of some of the bad kings in the Old Testament. But what does the Bible say about that? And I know Proverbs probably has quite a bit to say about it.
It does. You know, just Google, well, not Google, but go in your app. I got a million Bible apps, right? Go into that and just put the word pride and see what God feels about it. It's not pretty. He's against the proud and he loves the humble. Why is that? Because if you're humble, you go to him and you're dependent on him and you ask him what his ways are and would you help me, and you're kind of piped into God's love and God's truth. If you're proud, you're saying, well, I'm an entity to myself. I don't need God. So in my world of psychology, we call that narcissism, and narcissism and pride are very, very tied in together. But it never works. You never reap good things when you've got entitlement, Bill, in love, in marriage, in dating, in parenting, in finance, in leadership.
Which is why the Bible talks so much about pride.
It's just black and white, Bill. You're right.
Now, your book focuses on some practical skills that we can use to combat and resolve entitlement. Let's unpack a few of those. One is to change the words I deserve to I am responsible. Can you flesh that out for us?
Sure. One phrase that my wife Barbara and I raised our kids with when we found out how big a deal this was we stopped. We just told them you guys can't say I deserve anymore, because we were in Southern California and everybody's sort of entitled, right? And so, you know, the kids would say, well, I deserve, you know, an iPhone at 9 years old, or I deserve a car at 16, because their friends were saying it.
Right.
And I got kind of concerned, like, I don't want you out there as an employee saying that to your boss or to your wife. And so I said, guys, look, here's the scoop. God gave mom and me to you to raise you. We love you. We feel like you're the greatest privilege we ever had. We're going to give you everything you need, because you need a lot of things. You need love, and you need structure, and you need fun, you need vacations, you need sports. We're going to give you all those things because you need all that stuff, but you don't deserve any of it. Because we need things in God's economy, we won't deserve them. So don't come to me saying you deserve it because you won't get it, but come saying that you need it and you might get it. And we have found that has been helpful in business and in church as well as in family, because think about it for a second, Bill. The phrase "I deserve" is a disempowering phrase. "I deserve" means I'm going to sit here on my behind and just wait for somebody, God, the government, my parents, somebody, to give me what I need. I deserve this, so I'll just sit around and wait for the phone to ring. But if you change your words from "I deserve a good life, a good house, a good job, financial security," if you change the words from "I deserve those things" to "I'm responsible for those things. I'm responsible to get trained. I'm responsible to interview. I'm responsible to be a good spouse, so I'll have a good marriage. I'm responsible to move up in my career." "I'm responsible" is empowering, while "I deserve" is disempowering. It changes the whole way you look at your decisions in life.
I love that. Another skill you talk about in the book is do the next hard thing. What do you mean by that, John?
Well, Bill, when you were raised and your mom was serving dinner to you, did she say, "Bill, now, I'm sorry, you can't have any broccoli until you eat this bowl of ice cream first"?
I wish she had, but no.
Right. But she didn't, because your mom was a good mom. She wasn't a psycho mom. And no good mom will do that. They say the opposite. They say, "No, wait a minute. You can't get the ice cream until you eat the broccoli. That's just the way it works." Well, that's the way God set moms up, because it's in the Bible. We're supposed to reap and sow. Sow and reap. And so you do hard things first, and then good things happen later. And I talk about in the business world where, you know, you walk in, and it's been a hard weekend. Now it's Monday, and you were playing soccer with the kids all weekend. And so you have your first or second cup of coffee in the break room, and then you go to your computer. And then, you know, you look at your computer and you think, "Oh, gosh, before I open that up, I've got a hard meeting I got to go to. It's going to be a lot of arguing. I've got two customers that are mad at us. I got to go make them happy. I've got to go do a report, and I hate reports. And so I don't want to do all that stuff." So what we do? We open up our email and we clear out our inbox. That's what we need to do. We don't need to have that hard talk with a mad customer. You got to clear out that inbox because, Bill, there might be a prince from a third world country, and Bill, he wants to give you $50 million if you'll just give him your social number.
Oh, man.
So you got to do that, because it might happen. It would change your whole life. Well, in my world, we call those obsessional avoidant behaviors, and it's a way to kick the can down the road and not do hard things. And we never get to the hard things. But when I study really successful people, because I want to find out their secret sauce, and what I found out is that those really successful people, when I say, "Well, how'd your morning go?" they'll go, "Oh, it was really tough. I had this hard meeting, and I had a report. I don't like reports, and I had a customer that was bugged with me. I had to kind of smooth things over." I'll go, "Wow, that's a lot." I'll say, "How was the afternoon?" They'll go, "Afternoon was great. Really creative. We had a brainstorming meeting. Got with my top people. Met one of my top customers. Had lunch with them. Fantastic afternoon." Why? Because they did the hard thing in the morning, and they had a great afternoon. And that's life.
I love that. I remember back when I was first starting to study psychology, and I'm sure you do too, the legendary Premack principle.
Yes. Talk about that. Talk about Premack.
Get the hard things out of the way before you get the reward of the easy stuff, where you get the ice cream. So John Townsend is our guest, and his new book, which is just fantastic. By the way, it's been nominated for Christian Book of the Year, I believe, and it is called The Entitlement Cure, Finding Success in Doing Hard Things the Right Way. John, will you join us again sometime soon, and we'll dive into this even more?
Let's do it, Bill.
All right. Thanks. John Townsend, our special guest here on Faith Radio. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.